Welcome to Math AI with Mike. Have you ever wondered why, despite all the amazing breakthroughs in AI, scientific fields often struggle with applying deep learning? It's a fascinating paradox, isn't it? We see incredible advances in computer vision and natural language processing, but when it comes to science, with its often limited or sparse data, deep learning faces a unique hurdle. Exactly. But what if I told you there's a groundbreaking approach that integrates the very laws of physics directly into neural networks? This isn't just an academic curiosity. It could revolutionize how we model complex scientific systems and even discover new physical laws. Today, we're diving into physics-informed neural networks, or PINs. That's right. PINs are a really exciting development. For a long time, deep learning felt a bit sidelined in science. This was especially true because scientific datasets are often much smaller than those used for, say, image recognition. Ah, that makes sense. So traditional deep learning needs tons of data, but science often doesn't have it. Is that the core problem PINs aim to solve?
Precisely. But the idea isn't entirely new. Researchers were thinking about using neural networks for differential equations way back in 1998. PINs take that concept much further.
Wow, 1998? So this has been brewing for a while. What's the main innovation with PINs then? How do they know physics?
The core idea is to use something called automatic differentiation. Think of it like this. Imagine you have a complex mathematical function. Automatic differentiation is a smart way for the computer to calculate its exact slope at any point.
Okay, like finding the gradient?
Exactly. Now, these slopes, or derivatives, are then used to incorporate known physical laws. These laws become constraints within the network's learning process.
Ah, I get it. So instead of just learning from data, the network also has to obey the rules of physics.
That's it. It's like giving the AI a cheat sheet. This integration of physics allows the network to generalize much better, even with very limited data. It's a game changer for many scientific problems.
So, in short, PINs are deep learning models that embed physical laws directly into their architecture. This helps them learn effectively even from small data sets. Right?
Absolutely. And the paper we're discussing divides their use cases into two main categories. First, data-driven solutions for equations. Second, data-driven discovery of the equations themselves.
Okay, let's start with data-driven solutions. What kind of problems does that cover?
This is about solving partial differential equations, or PDEs. These are mathematical equations that describe how physical quantities change in space and time. They underpin almost everything in science, from fluid dynamics to quantum mechanics.
Give me an example. What kind of PDE did they tackle first?
For continuous time models, they looked at the one-dimensional Schrödinger equation. This describes how quantum systems behave. They used conventional simulation tools to generate a small amount of data. We're talking hundreds to a few thousand points, which is tiny for deep learning.
That's a tiny data set. How did the network learn anything meaningful from so little?
This is where the physics comes in. They introduced the boundary conditions, the initial state, and the Schrödinger equation itself into the network's loss function.
The loss function? What does that mean in this context?
Think of the loss function like a score. The network tries to get the lowest possible score during training. For PINs, this score isn't just about how well it matches the training data. It also includes penalties if it violates the physical laws or doesn't meet the boundary conditions.
So it's not just be accurate, it's be accurate and follow the rules of physics.
Exactly. So even with limited training data, the network accurately modeled the solution for the nonlinear Schrödinger equation. It was a remarkable demonstration.
That's really impressive. How did they optimize the network with such small data sets? I usually hear about things like stochastic gradient descent or SGD.
That's a great question.
For small data sets, they opted for an algorithm called LBFGS. Unlike SGD, which updates parameters after each small batch of data, LBFGS uses the entire data set. It also incorporates second-order derivative information, which is like knowing the curvature of the loss landscape.
So it's more informed about the landscape?
Yes, it tends to converge faster because of that second-order information. However, it requires more memory and can be less robust to noise than SGD. But for these specific scenarios with limited data, it was a good choice.
Interesting trade-offs. You mentioned continuous time models. Is there another type?
There is. A drawback of continuous time models is that they often need a large number of collocation points to enforce those physics-informed constraints. These are points where the physical laws are explicitly checked.
More points mean more computation, right?
Precisely. So they introduced discrete time models to address this. These models allow for fewer collocation points while still maintaining accuracy and incorporating the physical constraints.
How do they achieve that?
Here, they embed a classical numerical solver called Runge-Kutta directly into the network's loss function. Imagine you're trying to draw a smooth curve. A continuous model might check every tiny point along the curve. A discrete model using Runge-Kutta is like taking bigger, smarter steps, using a known formula to predict the next point accurately without checking every single one.
Okay, so it's a more efficient way to step through time while still maintaining the physics holds.
That's a perfect way to put it. This implicit Runge-Kutta approach allows them to solve PDEs over larger time intervals with high accuracy. It really leverages the best of both worlds, traditional numerical methods and neural network architectures.
So it's like a hybrid approach?
Exactly. They demonstrated this with the Allen-Kahn equation, which is used to model phase transitions. They sampled points at one specific time and then accurately predicted the solution at a much later time step. High accuracy, fewer collocation points.
Okay, so to summarize the data-driven solutions, PINs can solve complex physical equations even with minimal data. They do this by baking physical laws into the loss function. They can handle both continuous and discrete time scenarios for efficiency.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Now, let's move to the second class of problems, data-driven discovery. This is where it gets even more exciting.
More exciting? What's the difference?
Instead of solving for the solution of a model, here the goal is to learn the unknown parameters within the model itself.
Wait, so the network figures out the underlying physics? That's incredible. Can you give an example?
They demonstrated this with the Navier-Stokes operator, which describes fluid motion. They solved these equations in two dimensions. Again, they inserted the equations into the loss function. They also included the continuity equation, which represents the conservation of mass for fluids.
And what did they find?
They prepared a dataset using classical methods and even tested a case with 1% uncorrelated Gaussian noise. The network didn't just accurately predict the unknown parameters, it also provided a qualitatively accurate prediction of the entire pressure field in spacetime.
Wow, and it did that without any training data specifically on pressure?
That's the amazing part. It deduced this continuous quantity of interest from other measurements by harnessing the principles of physics. It really shows the power of PINs. It's like inferring the air pressure inside a balloon just by watching its shape change because you know the laws of elasticity and air pressure.
That's a fantastic analogy. It really highlights the discovery aspect. So the network is truly understanding the underlying physics, not just memorizing data.
Precisely. And they also showed a discrete time model for discovery using the Korteweg-de Vries equation, which describes waves.
Was that similar to the Runge-Kutta approach we talked about earlier?
Yes, it was a similar Runge-Kutta-based method. But this time, it incorporated the unknown parameters that needed to be learned. They also changed the equation slightly to take two distinct temporal snapshots as input.
And did it perform well, even with the noise?
Absolutely. Despite these differences, and even with a large temporal gap between the two training snapshots, the method correctly identified the unknown parameters. This was true whether the training data was corrupted with noise or not.
That's amazing resilience. It really proves the network's ability to encompass the underlying physics.
So, to recap the discovery aspect, pins can learn unknown parameters of physical systems and even infer entirely new fields by embedding physical laws. This works even with noisy or sparse data.
That's the perfect summary. As a final thought, the authors emphasize something really important.
What's that?
They say pins shouldn't be seen as mere replacements for traditional numerical techniques like finite elements or spectral methods. Instead, they are significant advancements that can elevate their capabilities further.
Ah, so it's not a competition, but a collaboration, a new tool in the scientific toolbox.
Exactly. It would be a pity to overlook them. They offer a powerful new way to approach complex scientific problems, bridging the gap between deep learning's data prowess and the fundamental laws that govern our universe.
That's a truly inspiring thought to end on. It sounds like pins are going to be a huge part of the future of science and AI. Thank you so much for breaking this down for us.
My pleasure. It's a field with immense potential.